Hello and welcome to Grad Next Audio, brought to you by StudyTrust, Van Schaick Publishers, Capitec, and me, Ruda Landman. These podcasts go with a booklet called Grad Next, which is available to download for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Grad Next was created to help you cross the gap between being a student and being a working adult. It consists of four sections: knowing yourself, finding the opportunities, the practicalities of getting a job, and finally, being a working adult. A huge part of being a working adult is managing your money. So let's talk about that. This whole section comes from our sponsor, Capitec. They know about money. We start with something that one of our recent graduates wrote in response to the survey we did in 2019. I was excited when I received my first salary payment. Since I was not financially literate, I did not save or invest. I spent most of my money on family and outings. A year later, I took out a loan to build my family home. The loan was an eye-opener. In hindsight, I learned that you pay twice as much what you had initially asked for. So keeping that in mind, making the most of your money starts with your first salary. The start of your working life is an exciting new chapter. Yes, adulting can be hard, and there will be challenges and responsibilities, but you also have new opportunities and exciting things to look forward to, not least of which is your first salary. Whatever your dreams and ambitions, your income will be an essential resource. What you choose to do with your money each month will impact your life now and in the future. So take an interest in your money from the start, because the more you understand it, the more empowered you will be to make it work for you. First of all, let's talk about managing your money beliefs and emotions. Money is an emotional subject. Understanding financial concepts and good money habits isn't hard, but to consistently put the theory into action can be more complicated. Everyone grows up with ideas, beliefs, and fears about money. These influence your daily decisions, often without you realizing it. In order to manage your money, you need to balance what you need and want now with what you need and want for your future. Often, this is about how you manage your emotions and the impulses they create. So pay close attention to your money emotions and the way they shape your actions. The first question is, what do you want your money to do for you? You will always have important and fabulous ways to spend your money right now. The good news and the bad news is that no matter how much you earn, it's only the money you don't spend that can grow. It doesn't matter that much whether you earn a small, average, or large salary. It's how much money you save instead of spend that will dictate whether you can achieve your dreams. Think about what you really want your money to do for you. Maybe you want to travel widely, start your own business, raise a family, or build a career you love. When you are clear about your big lifelong dreams and aspirations, it's easier to make the choices and sacrifices required to get you there. If you don't know what you want your money to do for you, you're going to end up spending it on unimportant things that don't really matter that much. So, what do you dream about? Make a list of 4 or 5 big dreams you'd like to realize in your future. Once you've written down what your dreams are, it's time to break them down into practical financial goals. Some of these might be directly related to achieving your specific dream, while others might be just a step that will help you get there. For example, if you want to start a business, you might want to start saving towards this specifically. However, you might also have goals around further education, buying a reliable car, or making sure that you avoid or repay debt so that it will be easier to manage an unpredictable income later. The next question is, how long will it take? Order your goals into short, medium, and long term. Short-term goals within 2 years, medium-term goals 3 to 10 years, long-term goals more than 10 years. Next, you need to make sure your goals are SMART. SMART goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. Specific. Vague goals aren't helpful. Be specific about what you're working towards. Write down exactly what it is, how much it will cost, where you will find it, and by when you want to achieve it. Measurable. How much do you need to save, and how much will you save each month? This way you can measure your progress and see how you're getting closer to your goal. Achievable. Will you be able to consistently afford the amount you plan to save each month? Relevant. Is this goal going to contribute to your bigger dreams? Timely. Give your goal a timeline with a start date, even if it's a few years from now after you've accomplished other goals, and write down the completion date you're aiming for. SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. Here's an example. If your goal is to repay your student debt, you may say, I'm going to pay 400 Rand extra, that's measurable and achievable, into my student loan account every month, that's specific and relevant, to repay the loan in 4 years instead of 5, timely and achievable. Now, how to structure your income. Over a 40-year career, there are 480 monthly salaries. Interesting thought. That's 480 chances to decide what your money will do for you. Every salary payment can help you build your dreams, your security, and your freedom if you choose to prioritize that. So how can you structure your spending and your saving to make each salary count? Ideally, there are 4 key categories to split your salary into each month. 1, building the future you want. 2, creating a safety net that gives you security. 3, spending to meet your needs and to enjoy your life now. And 4, sharing with your family and community. So building the future, creating a safety net, spending now, and sharing with your family and community. Capitec has developed a brilliant graphic with a breakdown of the various elements of each category. Do try and go to the GradNext booklet. Find page 55 and print it out. It's too big for the screen on your phone. Under Build, Create the Future You Want, you will find things like retirement savings and long-term goals like paying off your home loan and saving for a child's education. Under Protect, constructing that safety net we were talking about, you will see emergency savings, medical cover, insurance. And then under Spending, Living and Enjoying, there are of course needs, rent, food, electricity, and wants, a holiday, eating out, expensive clothes. And then there's Category 4, Sharing with your family and community. You may not be able to contribute to every one of these elements every month, especially when you're starting out, but try to make some contribution to each of the categories every month, building the future, creating a safety net, spending now, you will contribute to that category, and sharing with your family and community. Understanding these elements and thinking about how you can use your money most effectively in each category will help set you up for financial success. This is how one recent graduate described the process. Earning a salary brought joy to me, as I would be able to do things that I had always wanted to do, and also help my family with groceries and paying school fees. I had always been good with managing my finances and saving, so this was not a challenge for me. Setting out a budget was the first thing I did before spending my salary, and I made sure that I stuck to it. It was discipline that helped me, and knowing when to say no to someone, because everyone around me thought I was now rich. We will talk about this again. Now, before you start on any of this, you need to understand take-home pay. Here's another comment from a recent graduate. My first salary was very exciting. It felt like I was finally my own person now. I didn't, however, expect my deductions, taxes and all, to be that much. Managing the money wasn't a problem because I made a lot of mistakes with the money I was receiving from the bursary scheme, so I learnt a lot of lessons about money management during my time in varsity. Your first payday is an exhilarating milestone, and to be honest, so is every payday after that. But the money that's paid into your bank account won't be the full salary specified in your job contract. That's because your employer will make a number of required deductions before you are paid. To see exactly what and how much gets deducted each month, look at your payslip. You'll also use your payslip as proof of your employment and your income and when applying for credit. Therefore, you need to understand the information on your payslip throughout your career. And you have a right to understand your payslip and your salary deductions. If you don't, speak to someone from your company's payroll or HR department or directly to your employer. So here are the common deductions. Personal income tax. Once you start earning, you will need to register with the South African Revenue Service, or SARS, to receive a personal income tax number. Every month, if you earn more than a certain amount per year, your employer is legally obliged to deduct personal income tax from your salary before you are paid. This will be included as a deduction on your payslip called PAYE, Pay As You Earn tax. Income tax is charged as a percentage of the money you earn. In South Africa, the tax rate works on a sliding scale, which means the more you earn, the more tax you pay. These incremental increases are called tax brackets. You can find the latest information regarding the rate you are charged in each bracket at sars.gov.za. There's also a webpage called fin24.com, which has a budget calculator's tax subdivision, which is very helpful. Now, the Unemployment Insurance Fund. You will also make a compulsory contribution to the Unemployment Insurance Fund, the UIF. If you become temporarily unemployed or go on unpaid maternity, adoption, or sick leave after being employed full-time, you'll be able to claim a small monthly amount from this fund. 1% of your salary will be deducted for the UIF contribution each month, up to a maximum of 148 rand. Your employer contributes another 1%. Then there's the possibility of a retirement contribution. Your employer may allocate a monthly contribution to a company pension or provident fund, a savings vehicle specifically designed for retirement saving. This may be compulsory, but you may be able to choose what percentage of your salary is deducted. And then there's medical aid. Some employers may also deduct a medical aid premium from your salary. This is generally an optional deduction, i.e., you can choose whether or not you want to belong to a medical aid through your employer. Your employer may contribute to the cost of your medical aid, meaning that less is deducted from your salary, and your medical cover will cost you less. Medical costs can be enormously expensive. So while this is a big monthly deduction, medical aid or a medical insurance plan could protect you and your family in the event of large medical expenses. To wrap up this section, let's just clarify some salary terms. There's basic pay or salary. That's the rate agreed between you and your employer as your set pay, without any additional income such as bonuses or overtime. For staff who are paid monthly, this is usually 1/12 of your annual salary. Then there's CTC. This stands for cost to company and is a term for the total salary package of an employee. It's the pre-tax salary and includes all benefits the company is offering. Another term is gross pay or salary. That's your basic plus any additional income such as overtime or bonuses before deductions. And then there's your net pay or salary, the amount that gets paid into your bank account that you will take home after deductions. One more very important term, the IRP-5. This is your tax certificate. It's issued to you at the end of each tax year. It details all employer-employee-related incomes, deductions, and taxes, and you will use this to complete your income tax return every year. You need an IRP-5. That was episode 17 of GradNext Audio, starting off our discussion of managing your money. Next time, we'll talk about those big ideas, creating and sticking to a budget, and how to use credit. Please join us again, and remember you can also download the text for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Goodbye, until next time.